Hi, I'm Jamie, and thank you for checking out Bad Dreams. Before we get started, I want to note, these are all listener-submitted stories. If you have a scary story of any kind, fact or fiction, please send it to baddreamspodcast@gmail.com, address in the description. Bad Dreams is a horror podcast featuring strong language, violence, and situations not suitable for all ears. Viewer discretion is advised. Don't just pull over anywhere to take a nap. It's getting late, and my vision is starting to blur. I can hear the warning grooves on my tires, alerting tired drivers to go take a nap. But there weren't any rest stops out here. I was miles off the interstate, a county road, driving through the middle of nowhere in West Virginia. Or maybe I was in Virginia. I don't even know anymore. All the more reason to find a spot to pull over. As if it knew I was looking for it, a pull-off appeared as I rounded one more of the many bends on the road. I turned on my signal, though it was the middle of the night, I haven't seen anyone for hours, and pulled in. The lot was empty. I turned off the engine, put my seat back, and set an alarm for 10 minutes. In seconds, I was drifting away to the sounds of the wind and trees outside of my car. It couldn't have been more than a few minutes that went by when I woke up to the sound of a diesel engine pulling in off the road. What sketched me out most was that their lights were off, which to me only meant one thing: they didn't want to be seen. Not knowing what to do, I started to panic. Do I let on that I'm here, start the car, and try to drive off? What if they aren't bad people, and were only looking for a place to crash to? But their lights were off. I knew I could really use the few extra minutes of sleep I had left until my alarm went off. But would I really get any sleep with this truck here now? All these thoughts racing through my mind until I peeked my head up to see if I can make anything out. And thank God I did. What I saw made up my mind for me and left no doubt that this was no coincidence. One of the passengers of the truck was getting out with a shotgun in his hand and said, "I'll take care of this one." "Fuck that," I said to myself as I started my car and noped the fuck out of there. The man ran back to the truck and followed me for a few miles from a distance. As soon as I had service, I called the police to inform them. They said, "Yep, we know about them. Thanks for reporting." But at that point, the truck had stopped following me, and was gone. Weird William by Slothlover 929. This happened when I was a kid. It might not be action-packed, but it scared the piss out of me. I live in a small town that is home to less than 1,000 people in Canada. There's a large indigenous community here, and with that comes a lot of superstition and folklore. For example, there is a graveyard that is a couple minutes out of town that is said to have been sacred indigenous ceremonial grounds. It is famous for ghosts and other creepy things. When I was an early teen, my brother brought home a Ouija board. He had candles lit in the downstairs living room at midnight and was messing around with it, trying to get me to play. It freaked me out, so I didn't want anything to do with it. He told me he traveled 3 hours away to buy this board at a town that is known for its psychic community. My brother told me that he went to the graveyard with his friend to try it out. He said they went to Weird Willie's grave. In the cemetery, there's a tombstone that just says William, nothing else. He said when they asked it a question, the planchette would move in a figure-eight pattern, then spell out, "I didn't do it." The next night, one of my best friends was sleeping over. I told him about the board and what my brother told me about the other night. We were half watching a scary movie while searching the internet trying to find out who Willie is. After an hour or so of searching the late 90s internet, we pieced together his story. Willie was a pretty normal guy who lived with his mom until he was in his 30s. When he met a new girl. Seeing how excited he was to start dating her, his mom suggested he invite her over for dinner. Willie's girlfriend came over and they had a perfect night. The next day, Willie's girlfriend was found dead. The toxicology report showed that she had been poisoned. Willie knew it was his mom that had killed her. One night, he took a shotgun and killed his mother in her sleep. He was blamed for both murders. As we got to this part of the story, the movie that was on glitched. The screen went dark and audio cut off with a burst of static. Subtitles came on in big white letters that read, "I didn't do it," over and over again until the screen was full. Then, with what sounded like a shotgun, the power in my house went off for 4 days. It was probably the scariest experience in my life. Thank God for the Third Guy by a Reddit user on Creepy. I'm a 57-year-old female now, but this memory still feels like it happened yesterday. I can still feel the sinking feeling of hopelessness in my gut whenever I think about this situation, and I think about this situation every day. In 1986, on my way back from working in Yellowstone National Park for the summer, I stopped in a small town about an hour outside of Topeka to visit my friend who had also just graduated from high school and had moved to Topeka with his parents. I stayed about a week, but his parents invited me to stay an extra day for their family reunion. I really didn't want to drive back to my boring hometown, especially because most of my friends were away at college for the fall semester, so I stayed. The family reunion was way out in the country. I should also say his car was a piece of shit that hardly ran. I'm not judging, because my car now, as a grown adult, is just as shitty, but it is the reason why we ended up in this situation in the first place. The reunion was fine, good food, fun people for the most part, but in the late afternoon, we made our way back to his house in his beater, which also had a broken gas gauge, and yup, we ran out of gas. He said we were probably 6 or 7 miles from the nearest gas station, pre-cell phone days. While we were trying to figure out what to do, a van with no windows pulled up and asked if we needed any help. When you're young, you think these things just miraculously happen for you. When you're older, you know better. We told him we ran out of gas, and the friendly enough man offered to take us to the nearest gas station. We got in the van and discovered there were 2 more men in the vehicle. There were also no seats, so we were just sitting on the floor of what appeared to be a work van. About a minute of silence goes by when the driver says, "So guys, the old R&M routine?" The men then started casually talking about doing us harm, clear as day. They were talking as if we weren't even there, like we weren't even people. The driver adds he knows of a good place to go and that they should take care of my friend first so there are no interruptions with me, the girl, as he put it. The man in the passenger seat, eyeing me up and down, agreed and said that he is in, nodding in approval while licking his lips. It was then, when I felt his slimy eyes groping me up and down, that I figured out what the old R&M routine was. Rape and murder. I felt my stomach turn and my vision start to blur. This can't be right, I thought to myself in disbelief. Pulling me out of my swirling thoughts, the man sitting in the back nearest to us said that he's not in and didn't want to be involved in this at all. He said he's got a baby now and he's not cool with this. The driver and passenger seat rider said something under their breath to each other, but I couldn't hear what they said. There was an angry silence while the driver thought this over. In my mind, I prayed one word, help. I was in denial that this was actually happening to me. An hour ago, I was completely safe without a care in the world, and now, the idea of someone raping me and murdering us both, then leaving us somewhere nobody would find us, was actually going to happen today. If you've never been to Kansas, it seems like it's made up of lots of lonely, desolate roads that lead to nowhere, lots of hiding spots. If at any point the third guy changed his mind or simply said to just let him out first, I wouldn't be sharing this with you right now. The silence continued. I was thinking about how the men never spoke to us directly from the moment we entered the van, how they probably didn't see humans when they looked at us, just meat for butcher. I could hear the old van's noises, the tires on the road. I could hear the sound of tools clanking in the crates near the back door. Everything felt surreal. The tensioned air in the van was thick with silence when the van suddenly came to a skidding halt. Just like that, the driver pulled over and the guy in the back seat opened the side door and let us out. It was over. The air never felt so sweet and pure, and the ground never felt more solid. My friend and I looked at each other and embraced, crying tears of joy. We made it. We survived a close encounter with dangerous predators, the darkest evil, those that will torture and kill for pleasure and fun. Down the road, I could see the sign for the gas station as the van sped away. Today, I can still see that van pulling away, a sort of mirage from a nightmare that had crossed over into my waking reality. We made it to the gas station and called the police. They seemed less than interested, but filed a report anyway. My friend's parents picked us up, and when I got back to their house, I got the fuck out of that town and never went back. Those men were going to do unthinkable things to me and murder us both, or at least that's what they made us believe they were going to do. I'll never forget that day. Thank God for the third guy. Something Taps on My Window by Reddit user Sniper6407. I had just moved into a new house I bought, and for once, things were going well for me. I recently got a new job, causing me to move to a new area where I can finally start fresh. It was the first night in my new house when it started. Beyond my backyard was a dense forest. I would occasionally see coyotes or raccoons, but they never got too close to my house, which I was thankful for. It was around 9:30 one evening when I was watching a movie and I heard something tap on my backyard window. Tap, tap, tap. But since it was nighttime, I had my curtains drawn, and that meant I couldn't see what was making the noise. Curious, I stood up and began to walk over to the window. Tap, tap, tap. Scratch, scratch, scratch. As I approached the window, I stopped. I suddenly became frozen in fear of what could be making that noise. My mind racing, I sat back down on the couch and turned the volume on the TV up, trying to drown out the tapping noise. But as I turned the volume up, the tapping noise became louder and faster. Another rush of fear hit me as I just sat there, not knowing what to do. It was a flight or fight situation for me, and I chose flight. I stood up and ran upstairs to my bedroom and locked the door. I was fucking terrified. The tapping became louder knocks, and I thought the glass might actually break. I ran over to my nightstand and grabbed my pistol I kept for emergencies. I sat down on my bed waiting, but the tapping eventually stopped. I closed my eyes hoping that this was all just a dream, and at some point, I fell asleep. The next morning, I woke up at 8:30. My entire body was sore, and I was exhausted. I walked downstairs, shuffled over to the backyard window, and I drew the curtains. To my horror, there were three claw marks and dozens of small holes engraved into the glass. The claw marks were huge. Each claw mark was at least 2 feet long and went 3 centimeters deep, but no animal had claws that size. I was surprised that my window didn't actually break from the damage. I decided to take the day off from work to rest and relax. I laid down on my couch and took a long nap. When I woke up, it was 6:30 p.m. I lost track of time and it was almost dark. I hadn't thought about what to do when it was nighttime. I suddenly got this need to shut all the curtains and blinds in my house. I don't know why, but it was just a gut feeling, as if something bad would happen if I didn't shut them. So I listened to my gut feeling and I closed all of the curtains and blinds. Then came nightfall. At 10, my eyelids became droopy and I was starting to drift off to sleep, but I heard the one noise I had been dreading all night. Tap, tap, tap. I shot up awake and grabbed my pistol, but I just sat there paralyzed with fear. Finally, I gathered enough courage to shout at the creature, "Get the fuck away from my house!" The tapping stopped, but a second later it came back again with increased intensity and speed. I held my breath and listened to the tapping. The tapping then morphed into scratching, followed by a ragged, wet breathing. Without warning, the backyard window shattered as the biggest fucking rush of cold air I've ever felt came through the house. I was hyperventilating. I was so scared of what could have been outside, checking the windows before I slept, and now this fucking thing was inside the house. I once again ran upstairs to my bedroom and locked the door. I heard broken glass clatter on the floor as something massive crawled through the broken window. I cocked my pistol as the creature prowled around the living room. I slowly reached for my phone, trying to stay as quiet as possible. I dialed 911 and prayed that the creature wouldn't come upstairs. 911, what's your emergency? Asked the operator. Something just broke into my house, I whispered. Please send help. Please fucking help. I live near the ocean at Avenue. Near the ocean. Sir, I need you to stay calm. I'm sending 2 units to your area immediately. We stayed on the line, even though we didn't say anything to each other. I just listened to the creature as it came towards the stairs. As the creature crawled up the stairs, I could hear strange noises coming from it. I heard a mechanical whirling sound, followed by a sickening pop and an unearthly screech. The creature had reached the top of the stairs, and my heart felt like it was going to stop at any moment. I heard the creature slowly approach the end of the hallway, but it stopped when it was in front of my bedroom door. I think my mind really fell apart when the creature started breaking down the door, while a horrifying light of a color I had never seen before flooded through the cracks and into my eyes. I could feel the stinging of the light work its way from my eyes through the optic nerve and into my brain. I couldn't take it anymore. The swirling pain on the inside of my skull was all I could think about as the creature slowly approached me. Towering over me, the creature stood there as I started to black out and fall to the floor. The last thing I remember was seeing the creature's claws digging into my torso as another layer of pain flooded through my head. I woke up on the floor to a police officer's flashlight shining in my eyes. It wasn't a dream because the glass and the door were broken on the floor, but there was no creature, nor was there a sign of the creature. The officers took me in and got me checked into a psych ward. I was released because I told them I was just experimenting with drugs and learned my lesson. It was a lie. I still don't know what happened that night, but I'm glad to be alive. Be sure to follow Bad Dreams on social media and rate, review, and follow Bad Dreams wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.